the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The seed is the word of God. Only the seed gives life. Only the seed produces a harvest. Only the seed has the power. So it's no surprise that the seed is the word of God. And then as St. John writes elsewhere, the word of God is Christ. For only Christ has life, only Christ has power, only Christ brings forth a bountiful resurrection harvest. The dirt has no power. The dirt has no life. The dirt cannot bring forth a harvest. The dirt is a bunch of soil, often filled with rocks and thorns. The dirt is fallen man. For there is no power, no life, or no harvest within us. We cannot come or choose God on our own. We're nothing more than dirt, for from dirt we were created, and because of our sin, we will return back to dirt. But the power is in the seed, the word of God. For faith comes by hearing the message. There is no greater gift, no more wonderful possession than that word of God. It is Christ, and it gives you Christ, and it brings you all the blessings of Christ. Each kernel is packed with forgiveness, life, and salvation. It tears out the rocks and the thorns and allows you to produce a bountiful harvest to the praise and glory of God. The word is our everything. Apart from the word of God, we have nothing. No God, no Christ, no Savior. Apart from the word of God, even the sacraments are nothing more than superstitious rites. They derive their power and substance solely from the word of God. Morality itself is anchored in the word of God. The word is our everything. More precious than gold, sweeter than honey. It teaches us the ways of God. It reveals God's bloodied hands and brow. It scatters his life-giving body and blood into our hearts. It changes us. It shapes us. It moves us. It makes us what God desires us to be. It penetrates our heart of stone, pierces bones and marrow, and creates a heart of flesh. The word of God is the power of God. Not simply a set of doctrines and information that you need to learn how to regurgitate, not simply in one ear and out the other, but life, salvation, restoration, a change that only God can work, and he does it through his word, mind and body and soul and will, aligned to the very will of God. The more you meditate on that word, the more you hear it, the more your thoughts are like God's thoughts, and the more your actions are like God's actions. It changes you. Inwardly digest it, mull it over, ponder it in your heart as Mary did, meditate on it day and night, for it alone is the power of God for your salvation. And so a farmer goes out to sow his seed. Christ goes out to preach his word. How often does Christ preach that word? Do not limit this parable to only the moment of conversion. This is what happens whenever the word of God is preached. Christ preaches his word everywhere, even where he has already preached it before. He doesn't discriminate. He doesn't target certain groups of people that he thinks would be a good fit. But he simply preaches. He sows that word. He gives himself to all, regardless of who they are or what their background is, for he desires all to be saved. He doesn't have to preach. He doesn't have to give his word any more than the farmer had to sow the seed. But the farmer scatters that seed, and Christ preaches his word solely out of love. Salvation begins and ends in the very heart of God. His heart compels him to preach his word, for he desires all men to be saved. And the word alone creates and sustains, creates faith. His love is seen most clearly on the cross, but his love does not end on that cross. Whenever the Word of God is opened, it's only because of his love. Whenever the Word of God is meditated on and comprehended, it's only because of the love of God. Each breath that flows from his lips brings forth absolution and love. He wins it, but he constantly gives it. The cross is the one event in history that has changed human history forever. But the giving of that cross is again and again. The preaching of that blood-stained forgiveness continues on to the end of this world. And so the farmer goes out to sow the seed. But there are many dangers. Notice where Christ places those dangers. Not in the farmer, not in the hand, not in the seed, but in the soil. The dangers are in our hearts. This should not surprise us, for Satan attacks the word where it was sown, in the heart. Did God really say, he asked Eve? Her first sin was not eating the fruit. Her first sin was denying the word of God. Satan flew to her to snatch the word out of her heart, leaving her unfruitful and steeped in sin. The same with Adam. And he wants to do the same for you as well. Competing ideas and philosophies and words demand your attention, demand that you view these things as either good and true or bad and untrue. We're constantly judging words and teachings. And Satan wants you to exchange the truth for the imaginations of your own heart. He wants you to craft a religion that you're comfortable with, a religion that you think is good. Society changes, he says. People advance. Why would we continue to follow old principles, he says. If it makes you happy, how can it be wrong, he says. And so many hearts are hard. Even our own heart can be hard to the Word of God at times, can view that word as out of date, doesn't apply to me. If it happened to Adam and Eve, King David and Saint Peter, then watch out, or else it will happen to us as well. And so Christ continues to preach. By his grace, he continues to preach that word in some lands on rocky soil. They believe for a time, perhaps for many years, but only when life is easy. In difficult times, they turn away. So as a plant with no roots cannot survive the summer's drought, so also a man without the deep roots of faith, who doesn't work out his faith with fear and trembling, will not survive. Each stage of our lives, from infancy to our death, each stage of our life has different obstacles and trials we must go through, and God has something to say about it all. So let us press on to maturity in the faith and devote ourselves to the learning of Scripture and to the reception of the Word and the sacraments. Then God, through his Word, will toss out the stones and will deepen the roots of faith so that you will be able to withstand the trials and difficulties that lay ahead. With eyes guided by the word and hearts controlled by that word, we will confess in good times and in bad times, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. And though my flesh and my heart may fail, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And so Christ continues to preach. He continues to sow that word, for what else can he do? Some lands among the thorns. The land produces thorns and thistles because of Adam's sin. Worry fills our hearts because of our sin. Who among us is content with the life that God has given to us? Who among us isn't worried about the children's future or our grandkids' future or the church's future or the country's future? And so worry chokes out faith. Because worry is the opposite of faith. Faith trusts in God's control. Worry doubts whether God is in control. Worry acts like the future is uncertain. So let us leave all worry behind. Let us leave the pursuit of riches and pleasures behind as well. And let us press on to maturity in the faith. And so Christ continues to preach, and he will not stop. It's not a one-and-done deal, something that you just need to get to confirmation, then you're good. He preaches and he preaches and he sows again and again so that the word might bear fruit in our hearts. We don't deserve this gospel any more than the soil deserved the seed. But God is love. And so it continues to fall on our ears again and again. And by grace it takes root. Faith grows. Good works are evident. Repentance adorns our life. What was once hard is now softened. What was once rocky and thorny is now good. The word has changed us. It has forgiven us. And God receives the praise and the glory. And yet Christ still continues to preach. He will not stop. He continues to give his word by his grace. For by that word and by that word alone you believe. And by that word you will continue to believe until he comes to gather in the harvest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.